of our laughter ringing the air. Oh, wherever the time goes, I will see you there.
The time is almost up. Thanks for listening to Big Band Broadway and Beyond. God bless, and if anybody asks, tell them Joe sent you.
Must we let it end? And where go the echoes of our laughter ringing the air? Oh, wherever the time goes, I will see you there. I will see you there.
This is Mark from River City High, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn. And if you're not listening to WHFR Dearborn, you're not listening.
Several exciting reports live from Dearborn Hometown in West Dearborn. Our WHFR tent right here at the big carnival festival setup. Oh my gosh, it's always tremendous. This is Jay Koronick, if I didn't mention my name recently, and John Conroy, our WHFR news director, is right next to me. John, you had fun driving in from Grosse Ile today.
I did, Jay. The rain followed me all the way to
okay.
home.
Here. So it was your fault. So okay, I'll keep that in mind. So don't ask John Conroy to go anywhere because it's going to no. That was just an accident. And according to my, I gave a big weather report about 15, 20 minutes ago on WHFR, looking at my highly accurate radar weather app. I think we're clear. I think at least for several hours there doesn't seem to be any more rain. All the big rain clouds have moved to the east past us, at least the ones that were hitting us, and we're drying out pretty well over here. And of course the ground has not had too much water on it for several weeks. I think last weekend there was some rain, but seriously, folks, everything is fine here now. It's lunchtime or a little past, so it's time to come down and eat at the WHFR. Now, we're not running the food court, but we are definitely here broadcasting live and handing out our free newsletters and our new pens for this year. Everybody loves our pens. This one is, unfortunately, some of the newsletters got a little warped because of the rain today, but not too bad. Mm-hmm. There's still more. Yes.
Big tent worth, yep.
Yep. We're just telling someone that came up to the tent here about our big, big tent, red and white big tent. I think it's 15 by 15 at least, if not 20 by 20. And we have at least 35 tubs. You know how big a tub is, folks? Not a wash tub, but a storage tub. 35 tubs full of CDs of all kinds and LPs. And most of them in pretty good condition. And especially those CDs, you know, pretty unique. Sometimes we get them directly from the artist, and they're not distributed any other way, at least on CD. And, of course, a CD is kind of permanent. I mean, it'll last for... I still have CDs from the early days of CDs in the 80s, and they still play just fine. So the CDs are pretty permanent archive of music. And, of course, you can transfer them over to all digital if you want to. Most computers these days still have a CD drive in them, a CD DVD drive, and so it's really a great value, and it helps to support WHFR. So we hope you come down and visit us. So all things happening here at Dearborn Homecoming, but John and I, we've got to continue our tradition of telling about the local news and alternative views for the area. And I'm going to start, John, because everybody wants to know. I've got the official printout from the city of Dearborn. Here are the results of the last election. Now, this is just for the city of Dearborn, okay? But we'll talk a little more about what we know beyond that.
Sure.
First of all, and this is interesting. I always like the beginning facts here. We have in Dearborn, which is a city of about 100,000 people, how many registered voters? 59,507.
Registered voters.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And there's probably other people who aren't registered. So I'm kind of wondering how that works out, because I thought we only had 100,000 people in population.
Okay.
But the population has been increasing, you know. And, of course, some of the population, that counts kids.
Right, yeah.
Children. And they're not registered. They can't register yet. So I'm not sure how that plays out exactly. But that's what they say is registered here in Dearborn, 59,500 people. But how many ballots were cast in the primary election?
What was the percentage, yeah?
Yeah, that's the question. Well, the total turnout was 14,779. That was 24.8%,
okay,
which is pretty good, but we'll break that down for you a little more here. In terms of ballots cast out of that 15,000, 20% of them were on the Republican primary side,
okay,
and almost 70% were Democrat, okay, and the other 10% were nonpartisan, which means somebody didn't vote in Democratic or Republican, I guess. I'm not sure how that number works out. But, of course, because there was nonpartisan people you could vote for, even if you were voting in the Republican primary or the Democratic primary, you always have the right to vote nonpartisan.
But you could only vote a straight ticket, one or the other, could not split your vote in this.
For the partisan races.
Yes.
Right. You know, but when you get to nonpartisan, everybody could cast their ballot
free,
there.
Free right. to do what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I don't understand this one, though. It says crossover. Where's our clerk when we need her? Mary Buddha. It's her last, say, 6 months as city clerk. Supposedly 913 people did crossover ballots. I didn't think that was allowed. Of course, maybe that spoils the ballot because they voted Republican and Democrat. So maybe we'll get that clarified some year in the future.
I think what it means is if you're a registered Republican, you voted straight Democratic.
We don't register people in Michigan to be the Republican or Democrat.
Oh, okay, that's true.
There's ways you can track it, but you're not.
Yeah.
You don't have to declare.
No,
one
but
or the
I,
other.
I thought they could track it maybe a little better.
They can, but the city clerk. There's no way to register one way or the other.
Okay.
If there was, there would be a third category. You'd register as independent.
Right, independent.
But then the independent could vote either Republican or Democrat.
They could go either way.
Right.
That's right.
And anyway. Anyway, pretty good turnout in Michigan. It was more than what they expected. In fact, there was a story in one of the local papers here. Here it is, Press and Guide from last week. And they interviewed one of our Henry Ford College people, who's a political science professor and very, very together and into all the local races. His name is Anthony Perry. We've had him on the show before, or I've had him on some show before, maybe one of the Impact shows. And he said that turnout in Tuesday's primary likely will be very low because there's no contentious local races or hot-button issues on the ballot. Well, there were some contentious races here in Dearborn for the 15th District Michigan Representative and for the 19th District Court.
Yeah.
And we know it was contentious because there was a lot of negative campaigning that got talked about,
mm-hmm.
especially by the Arab American News. They reported a lot of it. And by golly, but that's good. I'm glad. And even Anthony Perry, I'm sure he's very glad that he was wrong.
Right.
Because we want, in a democracy, we want as many people to turn out and cast their ballot as they see fit. Okay, well, who won here? Well, it's the first one here. It's in the Republican primary section. In the Republican section, the only one I'm going to share with you is for the local 15th District Rep. There was a contest between Paul Sophia, who we'd interviewed on this show, and Richard Johnson, and Terrence Guido K. Garen, also known as
Rhino.
Rhino, yes, so a wrestler by occupation. And Rhino won with almost no campaign, no WHFR bump, because he didn't respond to our many queries to try to get him to come
still
on the show.
Still working on him, yep.
So he got almost 38% of the vote, and Paul Sophia, who campaigned, had three mailings. Garen had one mailing that finally made it to my house, in which I have to say, of the six issues that he listed that he was in favor of, five of them were Democratic Party issues.
Uh-huh.
One of them was pro-life, which typically is only Republican issue. So I'm really wondering. We certainly are going to get the word out again and try to get Terrence in, because he's now going to compete with the Democratic winner. And
Abdullah Hamoud.
Darn, spoilers. I'll get to Abdullah and the contest and how it came out. But here it's a primary, right? Not a lot of people voted. Not that many people voted in the Republican side. Again, only 20% of the people who voted in Dearborn chose the Republican side. But take a look at the difference here between Terrence Guido Garen. He got 1,033 votes. Paul E. Sophia, as he prefers the pronunciation, he got 979. So that's a matter of 54 votes. 54 more votes for Paul Sophia, and he could have won.
Very close.
Now, what I don't understand is how Richard B. Johnson, who we couldn't find, couldn't contact, he has no website, no campaign I know of, he never went door-to-door, he got 705 votes.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Brenda, one of our WHFR
Brenda.
Staff members just came, and she's looking at our stuff, which we recently dried off. Yes, the rain has stopped out here, folks. It's clear. It's going to be clear for a couple hours now, and there's just a little bit of refreshing water and a few puddles on the asphalt. The ground was already dry, so it's already soaked in. So there's no big mud puddle or anything like that you have to worry about. So I think it's going to be good for hours and maybe all the way through dinner time or later. All right. So I just wanted to make those two points. Yes, Terrence Guido Garen, congratulations. You won with almost no campaign. The only thing I can think of, and this was a suggestion by one of our staff members, is that his affiliation as a wrestler for 20 years. He must have an email list. He's got a lot of fans locally.
Yes,
you knew of him, right, Tom, before?
He also happens to know, Abdullah Hamoud is a workout partner of his at the gym.
So well,
they're going to be facing off against each other, but they know each other.
I'm not sure they're going to be facing off at the gym, but
No, but in the election, no.
But Garen said, and I have a story here from him, too, so we'll read that later when we get past the numbers. But look, 54 votes, folks. If you were a Republican and you say, I didn't like Terrence Garen, it was only 54 votes more than the guy that really campaigned hard. And, always give people credit for taking the time and the knowledge and the interest to go and knock on doors and walk around and do interviews and do candidate forums. He did all the candidate forums. And he was the only one out there to try to get his message out. And he lost by 54 votes. But that's democracy, and that's primary elections for you. Again, yours truly, and remember, on this show, all opinions expressed are not necessarily those of anyone at Henry Ford College. We try to be somewhat balanced. But my opinion is, and I've said it many times over the years, I do not see the purpose of a primary. I really think that if you're in the Democratic Party and the members of the Democratic Party, they get together in their precinct, and they should vote for who they want.
Well,
the candidates would compete among the precinct and the members of the Democratic Party in that precinct. It's just that simple. I mean, who better than the people that are actively in the party to choose the best candidate?
Right.
And they would save so much money. I mean, now, you say, well, there's also other proposals, nonpartisan things here. Well, the nonpartisan could be done in November. And make it a bigger ballot, but it could have been done in November. And the proposals to be voted on. Now, there's a couple sides to that. And we'll have to say, again, in advance here, that almost every proposal on the ballot, Wayne County and other small cities, cities, including Dearborn's millage renewal proposal, passed. And they almost all passed really big time. We're talking about 75% to 20% of the few spoiled votes. And so I know I was talking to Mayor John B. O'Reilly Jr., who came by our tent earlier this morning, and he said, well, it's kind of part of the strategy, is that the people that really care, that are knowledgeable, will come out and vote on these things, and something that's essential to city services, like the millage proposal, he felt it kind of had to go in the primary. Because in November, you got a lot of people voting, a lot of issues, there's a lot of distraction to the main candidates, to the presidential candidates this year, for example. And so that may take people away from concentrating on what's best for their local city or their local county. And so I understand that argument. But basically for the primaries, even especially the presidential primary back in February for Michigan, that was just a waste of money. That there was no purpose to that except giving additional publicity to some Democrat and Republican campaigners. The parties could easily do that for themselves. And if you say, well, it's not Democratic, well, having an open primary is not Democratic either when people can cross over.
If they can cross over, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, and why should a Republican come over and help the Democrats choose the best candidate but not choose in their own party? It's crazy. And also, that presidential primary, because it was thought up and voted into place by the Democrats and Republicans in Michigan, they don't allow any other party to participate.
No, they don't allow the smaller parties.
I think that's fine, because I think the Green Party and Libertarian Party, they know best who their best candidates are and who they want to put on the ballot.
Yeah.
But they miss out on all the advanced publicity that if they did have people running back in February, they would get additional notice.
True.
And maybe more votes in the long run.
Have a much better shot.
Why the Dems and Republicans are doing it, but they're banning any other parties from being part of that, which is unfair, I think. But that's the way it goes. That's what's legal in Michigan. Well, turning the page now from the primary election results, here comes, whoop, is that too many pages? They're sticking together a little. Can you believe that? All the rain and water we had out here, it's a little humid now, but I think the breeze is coming back. Okay, in the Democratic primary, of course, Debbie Dingell had no competition on the Democratic side, and she won 99% of the vote. But that's what happens when there's no competition. State Representative, 15th District, here it comes. Norman Alsohuri, we'll go in alphabetical order. Remember, he was the one that scheduled to be on our show, John, and then
yes,
didn't show up.
Didn't show
and
up.
Then didn't show up anywhere else. He got 42 votes.
42.
He's got 42 friends.
Think of how many.
I mean, who would vote for him since he had no campaign and didn't show up for any of the debates or on our show? But I think that's pretty good. I don't think I have 42 friends in Dearborn that would vote for me. Got a couple of ex-wives, but that, you know, they don't generally want to vote for it. So anyway, next name alphabetically is Abdullah Hamoud, who we interviewed on this show last Friday.
Yep.
And he got the largest number of votes, and again, it's the plurality here. He got 38% of the votes cast for this race, and so he won with the 38%. He had 3,477 votes. Number two, the runner-up, was Brian Stone. At 2,641 votes. He got close to 30%. So 38% for Hamoud and 29% for Brian Stone. It was 800 vote difference, but there were so many candidates in that race. Roxanne McDonald, that we had on a special edition of the Journal last week, Tuesday,
right?
Because there was no power 2 weeks ago on Friday at the college. So we couldn't broadcast either because there was no power. Roxanne McDonald, the Board of Trustee member, who decided to give up. She had to decide, is she going to run for this or is she going to run again for the Board of Education, Board of Trustees in Dearborn? Mm-hmm. And so she had to decide, and she gave it up for the sake of trying to run for our representative. She got only 20% of the vote. She came in third at 1,861 votes. Alex Shamey got 145 votes, and he has run for other things in Dearborn, so has a little bit of name recognition, but he announced, as we announced on this show, that he was not going to campaign, that he was not going to run, even if elected. He has a health problem, unfortunately, a serious health problem, and so he told people. But still, there's 145 people who either think he's was still running,
yeah,
or they just wanted to show support for him.
Right.
Whatever. So he was second from last. Also, Hurry got the least. Third from last, or fourth from top, is Jacqueline Zidane, who we weren't able to interview on WHFR because we couldn't get contact information. And, well, we did try to contact her through her website, and it just didn't happen. And we're sorry for that, but then we ran out of scheduling time by the time that I actually met her in person, so we couldn't include her. But she's a community activist. I noticed that she had a lot of campaign workers at the several polls that I drove by in Dearborn, because she's been working for Dearborn community activities for like 20 years. But still, 957 votes, and she came in fourth, I think. Yes, fourth. So Abdullah Hamoud will be competing against, for 15th District Rep, the Republican, Terrence Guerin, and then whatever Green Party or Libertarian Party candidate might be on the ballot for that office. And the Green Party in Michigan just had their convention a week ago, and so the names for the November ballot are not finalized yet, so we really don't know who those candidates are going to be. And we'll try to interview many of them on WHFR. We're trying to interview the people that are newbies, that are not the incumbents, because how else? They don't usually have much money, many connections. How else are you going to get to know them to make a really good decision in the November election? Okay, I guess I have to make a comment. Even the Metro Times made a comment in their current issue, John,
yes,
about the circuit judge, 3rd District, Robert Ficano.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Got almost 8% of the vote, and he was in the top four. And so, therefore, he came out just barely. He came in third, but just barely, only 45 votes over fourth position.
Yeah.
So he just squeaked in there. And I think it was just, name recognition for
right.
him. Because the last time he tried to, he tried to run for re-election
right.
for Wayne County Chief Executive, he got 4%.
Had enough of them in that position, for
yeah.
sure.
With all the issues, and I'm not saying they were directly blamed on him, but all the people that worked for him that did things that seemed somewhat corrupt, certainly inappropriate, and some of them had to be fired or kicked out or reprimanded. But he's going to be one of the judges up. And I'm not sure how many we can choose out of the four that are going to be on the ballot. In
right.
November.
No, I don't know either.
They don't tell you that. So maybe two out of the four, maybe? Okay, what about 19th District Judge? Non-incumbent, because there's no incumbents running. It was between Abby Wazzy, Susan DeBaja, current Dearborn City Council President, and Gene Hunt, currently a public prosecutor for the city of Dearborn. And he got the highest number. He got almost 50% of the vote. Susan DeBaja got 30%, and Abby Wazzy got about 20%. Now, there was a big contest in the Arab American community, and Arab Americans are about 40% of the population of Dearborn. And certainly, if you follow the Arab American news, as I think is required reading for any Dearborn resident, you'll see that there was a lot of opinions back and forth, supposedly some negative campaigning. And I won't talk about, because it's just rumors. I won't mention who was doing what to whom. But I know Susan DeBaja was very upset by some of the negative campaigning that was being done about her, and for that matter, her husband, who was not even running for anything. And you can read the editorials of the Arab American News on their website, ArabAmericanNews.com, and you can read the issue of their paper coming out either today or tomorrow.
Yep, late today, early tomorrow. Probably the best time to pick it up is...
John has already been over to their offices in Dearborn and
yeah.
met a few of their staff.
Staff people, and it comes out late, I'd say like 4 o'clock Fridays.
Right,
you know,
and they
right
have to physically distribute it to other places, like the
right.
the center and so on.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. I know they have copies also, folks, at the Dearborn Administrative Center. I don't think that's open on weekends,
no.
but...
Arab American...
Pick up, Yeah, the Arab American National Museum would have it, of course, and other locations throughout Dearborn.
And Starbucks.
Starbucks?
Yep.
All Starbucks or just...
Well, the Starbucks that are down toward the Detroit border.
Oh, okay. On the east side of town.
Yep,
all right.
On the east side. Yep.
Yeah. So the contest will be Susan DeBaggia versus Gene Hunt for the one position, the non-incumbent position, in the 19th District Judgeship. And I think they're both fine candidates. They both gave great interviews on our show and mm-hmm. in other places. Gene Hunt, I think, was really hurt by... Now, I don't think he was hurt by votes because he got half the votes cast. But people could, people only could vote for one. So it's not like you vote for the two that would go on to November. You could only choose one.
Right.
So he got half of the votes and at this time. But then again, if you put Fozzy and DeBaggia together, they got the other half. So it's almost like Arab American-related voters or Gene Hunt, who is not Arab American.
But Gene had the most experience of,
yes,
of those two folks.
Right, certainly did. And he had six mailings, but the one that we looked at last week, and I'm not sure I brought it with me, I think I showed it to you. No, we didn't have time to talk about anything last week because we had the two debaters.
Yeah.
Let me see if I brought that today. Probably not. No, I don't see it here. But he had a negative ad that came from some committee, you know, where you don't know who the heck it is. And it was very negative, and they claimed that he was putting criminals on the street. They claimed that he was getting them off. He was undercutting all of the police investigations. He was defending them in court and getting all these criminals off. Well, okay, if you're the defense attorney, the public attorney,
yeah,
public prosecutor, that is your job. If there's if you couldn't afford your own lawyer, and you were charged with a crime in Dearborn, wouldn't you want a good lawyer on your side?
Certainly.
Who would do the very best job and get you off if the case against you really wasn't there? Of course you would.
Best public defender you want.
That's what. Yep. That's the advocacy system. You have a prosecuting attorney, you have a defense attorney, and each one of them should do the best possible job they can do only on their side, and then the judge and or the jury alone, will decide the outcome. Of course, that's so. And Gene Hunt has commented in one paper or the other here since then. I think in an Arab American news story that came out in the last week, 4 or 5 days before the election, and it actually had pictures of 4 or 6 African American gentlemen. Okay, did they pick them on purpose? I don't know. And they were all. They all had quotes from each one of them about, oh, Gene Hunt, he's the greatest lawyer. He got me off even though I'm a hardened criminal and was guilty of sin. I'm exaggerating here.
Yeah, right.
But I'm just saying it gave that impression. And Gene Hunt said, you know, there was no time for him to even respond with any other mailing.
No.
So
no.
Late. Negative ads usually come late so that the candidate can't respond in any way. And he said, I don't even know who these people were. I checked my client list. They've never been clients. In fact, he said, I don't even, two of the six, or anyway, I don't even handle cases like the two said they were involved in. For whatever reason, he said he's never even handled cases like that. And so he doesn't know them, he didn't handle them, and I'm sure he'll have to have a mailing out for sometime before November to try to straighten out that opinion if anybody believed it. Hopefully nobody could believe it. Want a pen? Is that?
Okay, thank you.
Anyway, we just had people coming up to our tent here and getting a free newsletter and a pen, and we've got 4 colors of pens this year. Oh, boy. You can pick your color, and this is a cute little girl who got her face painted. Got a rainbow there. Yeah.
Very colorful.
Very nice. Have a nice day. Okay. And let's see. Any other numbers there? I think that's all I wanted to say about the DeBaggia Hunt race. Hunt also very gracious, and he said, "I really want at his victory gala on Tuesday night." He was reported as saying, "I really didn't know there's that many people that like me," but he did a lot of door to door.
Yeah,
and you know, he was a new name that a lot of people didn't know of before in Dearborn, but he had a couple of attacks on him certainly, and they didn't. Well, they didn't affect his victory. Again,
no.
He just had to be one of the top two. And so he and Susan DeBaggio will be the two on the ballot in November for 19th District Judge.
Well, I know each of them spoke very, all three of them spoke very well at the, forum, the candidate forum.
Right, the League of Women Voters.
All did a good
job.
Yes,
they did.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, you easily got to know what they were about, what they were thinking. I think enough to make a good decision. There was it robocalls or whatever that Susan DeBaggio was upset about that I think I mentioned 2 weeks ago, or with Roxanne McDonald. You weren't on that show with me.
No.
Couldn't make it in that Tuesday, but. And so here's the story, folks. There was robocalls, and I'm not saying who put them out, but they were vilifying and saying nasty things about a Hamoud takeover. It turns out that, yes, Susan DeBaggio's husband's last name is Hamoud.
Yes.
Okay. And we have a Fadwa Hamoud who's on the Board of Education.
Okay.
And she's running for re-election in November. And... if anybody remembers the far distant past, in 2001, there was Abel Hamoud, who I met after all these years. I interviewed him in 2001. He was running for mayor against Michael Guido. Now, that was a challenge.
Okay.
Especially as he was the first Arab American candidate on the ballot. And he was running for mayor and waving to people going by here. That takes time. I can't talk and wave at the same time, I found out, John.
No, I'm not too good at that either. Yep.
Terrible.
Just an interest in public service, Jay. The rides are in motion.
There's no water or weather or wind problems here. Everybody's having great fun. Come on down to Dearborn Homecoming and stop by the WHFR tent. We got a lot of things going on here. Let me just go on with the Hamoud story. Obviously, the fourth Hamoud is Abdullah Hamoud.
Okay.
And at the League of Women Voters Forum, which is one reason to go to that, you can talk to the candidates before and after if you want to.
Well, we did. Yep.
None of those Hamouds are related to each other.
Huh.
It's a name as common as Smith is to English-speaking people, it turns out. And so one of the robocalls was saying it's a Hamoud family takeover, and none of them are in the same family.
Yeah.
Again, you say, well, you know, why does Susan DeBaggio campaign even for the consul and not use her husband's name?
Right.
Well, I don't know. We could ask her sometime. But it's her choice to keep her original maiden name.
Yep.
And my second marriage, my wife kept her maiden name. Maybe she knew she was going to divorce me later, but and didn't want the hassle of changing the initials on her luggage or something as she's on the way out the door. If you're listening from Florida, Christine, hello. I hope you're having a good time down there with your new husband. No, it's terrible. It's very hot out here, folks.
Yeah.
I'm suffering from the heat, right? Okay.
We're all
friends. And anyway, but I'm just saying there's nothing that you shouldn't decide anything about Susan DeBaggio because she didn't take her husband's last name when she married him.
Right.
She's been married to him for 20 years. And it's just you have a professional career and a life, and you just want to keep your independent name. So
a highly, and highly qualified and able person.
That's all you should worry about.
She's a lawyer. She's a mom. She's been on the council.
And she didn't decide not to use her married name. She wasn't using it when she married him.
Right.
Understand? That was back in '96, I think, when she married her husband. No. Also, it was reported, and it even came up, I think, once in some negative campaign when she was running for consul, that her husband did get a felony conviction against him in 2008. Now, that's 12 years ago, for God. No, 8 years ago, Pete's sake, for selling cartons of cigarettes without having paying the tax. I mean, he picked them up somewhere and then sold them locally and... But he wasn't a smuggler as his main job. I don't know anything about it. I'm just guessing he was just helping friends. But it's against the law, and they caught him. And he was found guilty, and he paid the price, whether it was a fine or time in jail, I don't know. But that's it, over and done with. And on this robocall, they brought that up again, too. And then somebody was threatening that, it was illegal smuggling money that helped them buy their house in Dearborn, so they should... How terrible, how crazy. And you might say, well, isn't that libel, also known as slander, if it's done publicly, spoken. Know that there's very specific laws about that, and we teach that in our staff training class here at WHFR. It's very confusing, but, you know, there's First Amendment rights to have an opinion.
And it makes it so difficult for people to run when they know they're going to be under such scrutiny.
And there's no libel if you're pointing out a fact, such as Susan DeBaggio's husband did have that one charge against him, and he was found guilty. So, yes, he was found guilty of that, over and done with 8 years ago.
A long time ago.
Okay,
yep.
So... And I don't think cigarette smuggling has much to do with her position as a judge, or what might be her position as a judge. So it is your right to express your opinion and to do mailings, but it's really unfair if you're lying, if you're just straight out lying. And that's apparently what was happening in the Gene Hunt mailing with the black men, who the criminals saying, "Oh, he is best. I'm telling all my criminal friends to use him." Oh, my goodness. My goodness. But that's politics these days. We know that certain presidential candidates, who I'm not going to mention, do a lot of name-calling, too.
Oh, yeah.
Unsubstantiated name-calling, often mentioning facts, making statements that are proven false, that are not true. But it's... you know, it's freedom of speech to a certain extent. Libel is something you could sue about, but it's tricky. It's a complex law, so that's generally not done during political campaigns anyway. All right, so what about the millage proposals in Dearborn? Well, pretty much the Wayne County Parks millage continuation and the Wayne County Zoo Authority renewal millage, they both won with about 75% of the vote in Dearborn and I think throughout Wayne County. So... And was the Zoo Authority, was that in the Tri-County that had to be voted on, Tri-County, or just Wayne?
No, just Wayne.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, anyway, so a lot of people were endorsing that. And guess what? Almost 81% of the vote in the city of Dearborn said yes to renewing the supplemental millage that was passed in 2011. I saw Mayor O'Reilly. He came by here about 10 o'clock this morning to the booth, and he was... just bubbling. He was just overjoyed.
Was happy, yeah.
Because, as we found out from a mailing that came very late last week to my house from him, saying, please vote for this, the state of Michigan has passed a law saying that if you have a millage proposal like this on the ballot and the voters vote it down, you can't have another vote for 2 years.
Oh, really?
So that would have meant, since the city would have lost... $12 million of revenue per year.
Two cycles of
they would have lost close to $25 million if it didn't pass this time. And it's just a tribute to, well, Mayor O'Reilly and all the city administrators and city workers and staff that they think the people in the community, at least the people that voted in the primary, the 14,000 some and about the 12,000 or some that voted on this proposal, that 81% said, yes, please continue.
Yeah.
And, the other people, almost, 19%, but, they may not have had the money to do it, because they actually, it actually said in that mailing from Mayor O'Reilly, it the average homemaker, homeowner in Dearborn has to pay about $159 for that extra millage every year.
Wow.
So when you think,
that's
you
a
know,
pretty good number.
Extra 10 bucks a month or something,
yeah.
12 bucks a month. And so if you broke it down that way, you said, well, I'd love to save $12 a month, but do you want to, question always is, do you want to cut into the city services?
Right. And also the money's always going to cost you more if you wait down the road to...
especially in terms of fixing things or repairing things in your community. I saw a bunch of Dearborn city workers, in and around homecoming, they're trying to spiff up the area, but they were actually trimming trees. It was Dearborn City that was trimming low-hanging branches just a block or two away from the homecoming.
Must have listened to me, Jay.
That, yeah, you suggested
complaining
some
about
of that.
That? Yeah.
That's right. That's right. See how
can't
influential
see the
show is?
Yeah.
That's right.
Can't see the street signs, you know?
Every City of Dearborn employee has us tuned in. Mayor O'Reilly records it and plays it back for everybody at their lunch breaks on Monday. Oh, I don't know. But so I think it's good. I think the City of Dearborn deserves the continued support. Remember, your taxes haven't gone up because of the Headley Amendment, because since 2008, even though your home value has gone up.
Right.
But you say, well, aren't I paying more tax? No, because Headley keeps, they postpone it, and it only trickles in, that increase, over about 10 years.
Spread out, that's
yeah,
right.
So it's spread out. There's a slow change there. And so the city really is hurting if it wasn't for that supplemental millage that was passed in 2011 and was passed again 5 years later this year. Now, so we're okay. We don't have any new money. We don't have any extra money, but we're holding our own.
Yep.
You know? So I think that's the story of this area. And as I think I mentioned earlier, all the proposals for various cities and counties and area that we know of in the Downriver area and throughout Detroit, they all passed by large majorities. The only thing that didn't pass was the proposal on the ballot in Taylor, which was to have whether or not they should have a charter review commission. And
a revision in the charter to make it a commission that is not a commission at the moment, no.
Something like that, yep. Yes. And there was, I know there was a lot of stuff in the little Downriver papers about pro and con, but
yeah.
All of the elected officials, the people that got there with the previous, you know, laws in place, they were against it. The mayor was against it, and so that went down. I think that was about 60-40. It was a little closer than...
Right.
But, hey, democracy, one vote, that's all you need to win, you know, one more than the majority or the plurality. So, okay, so we're got 19 minutes before Highway 61 starts up. That's the Best in Blues with Kitty Love, who's in the studio. Not right now enjoying the fantastically sunny and warm and clear weather out here, but it is getting warm, and that that rainwater did add to the humidity level. But bring a fan, buy one of our WHFR golf umbrellas to shade yourself from the sun. Only $10, by the way, which is, they cost us 18 each, Susan McGraw was telling me. So, what a deal we got here.
$6, yeah.
And of course, the WHFR logo is on it. Okay, so, John, do you have any Downriver stories or events you want to mention right now?
I certainly do.
I'm looking through other papers here. I've got some other stories we can fill in the rest of the time with.
Probably the biggest event that we have this weekend is Jazz on the River at Elizabeth Park. Jazz singer Patty Austin is going to headline an all-star lineup of nationally known jazz greats, including Jonathan Butler, Alexander Zonchik, special guest Mesa, sax star Kim Waters, and American Idol winner Ruben Stoddard. And it's the 21st annual Jazz on the River. It is one of the largest and most popular free jazz festivals in the region. And it's the stage is backed up right by the Detroit River in Trenton's Elizabeth Park. And also we're going to have the Queen of the Blues, Thornetta Davis.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
She'll be there. And then a very fine Detroit choir, Selected of God, that was a favorite on America's Got Talent and provided the soundtrack for the well-known Made in Detroit Chrysler commercial with Eminem.
Is that a free event?
It is a free event.
Oh, wonderful.
All these performances are free.
Wow.
And, of course, there'll be food tents there, as well as arts and crafts as well for the whole weekend.
So after you have a wonderful time for a day or two at Dearborn Homecoming, now, well, what days is the Jazz on the River?
This is Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, 2 days. So
2 days, yeah.
Yeah, one day down there wouldn't be a bad idea, but you know, we're here at Dearborn Homecoming.
Oh,
we totally believe you. You should be part of this.
Well, it's an easy drive, so you could go do both. You know,
absolutely.
Come here to Dearborn for a while and then go to Trenton.
Yep, a lot of stuff going on.
A lot of stuff happening there, yeah.
All right, I've got a couple of quickie stories. Well, I think they're quickie. One is, I can't remember if I mentioned it last week with Roxanne McDonald's interview or not, but the Automotive Hall of Fame.
Ah, yes.
Which is a museum featuring portraits and profiles of automotive history of people who had invented cars and guided the first industries of building cars.
Yeah.
And I think it's an American Automotive Hall of Fame. I'm not sure. Maybe this is why they're leaving Dearborn and moving to downtown Detroit. I've never been there.
I have.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you see a tribute to, like, Mr. Mercedes or Mr. Benz? Or
It's when it says automotive, that means everyone involved with automotive production, engineering. So there's folks.
But it's kind of international.
International.
Too. Okay,
yes.
Great. Okay, well, it's moving, folks. So it's gone. I don't know exactly when they're closing exactly, but the building was built in '75, and the idea originally was that they would get the spillover after people went to Henry Ford Museum. Sure, let's see another museum. Well, it's a big deal to see Henry Ford Museum in Greenfield Village. I think you'd be all tuckered out after that. So, unless you were a tourist here, but I'm not sure you want to come back because, you know, they have a lot of physical automobiles.
Yes.
In the Henry Ford Museum. And it does seem dull maybe to some people to find out about the men and maybe some women, I hope. I don't think there's many women in that.
Oh, there's women. Oh, yeah.
Okay, good, John. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, very fine.
Okay. So to tell the stories of history are the stories of people, not the equipment they used. Although, you can talk about that if you want to. But anyway, so we're losing them. But they'll be downtown Detroit somewhere.
Well, it's going to be part of the Mike Ilitch entire project. It includes the new hockey arena.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the reason that this is a big reason that's happening is Mike Ilitch is paying for the move to happen. And
right, because he wants a little more excitement in that area, more than just one venue. Yeah,
he needs another bigger. He needs another parking structure. I think is what part of the problem.
Okay.
Is, you know.
That's the story behind the corner. And speaking of moving, the Times Herald in Dearborn has moved. They will be closed through August 3rd, and so that's passed. And they've already moved into their new office. They're now at 4907 Schaefer Road. And they moved once before from further west on Michigan Avenue in 74. They started in 63, and then they moved from there to kind of across from the old City Hall, as we call it now, in 74, and now they moved up Schaefer Road, if you're looking for them. Again, support your local newspapers as long as they last. Oh, my goodness, very important. Okay?
Yes.
Got a couple more stories here. Just piling up, since we've had so many interviews, we've got a lot of stories here. City of Dearborn... I know you'd like to have a good definition here. I don't have a lot of it, but City of Dearborn just was awarded a gold designation, the highest level in the Michigan Green Communities Challenge, a statewide clean energy and environmental leadership initiative. More than 20 communities were recognized for their sustainability efforts, but only three received gold medals, Dearborn, Ann Arbor, and Delhi Charter Township. Well, John, you know everything, and you've been everywhere. Do you know where Delhi Charter Township is?
I do not know that.
Oh, we found something John doesn't know.
Delhi,
okay.
Nope.
He'll have to look that up then for next week. But,
yep.
So it has to do with all kinds of ways that you come up with clever ways to fund energy projects, you know, to save energy, to go to more clean energy. And, of course, Mayor O'Reilly... has given direction to our sustainability coordinator. We have a sustainability coordinator, Dave Norwood, who we've interviewed on this show several times, who works very hard to get grants and funding from the outside and support from all kinds of industry locally to do green projects to help Dearborn save money and to keep the environment clean, too. And so it's great that we have been recognized by this organization, the Michigan Green Communities organization. However, it does say later on the article, Dave Norwood himself is also co-chairman of the Michigan Green Community Steering Committee.
Okay.
I wonder if he voted for himself or for Dearborn when the vote came up. But nonetheless, no, that's great.
Okay,
because he's one of the leaders in sustainability
right.
of all the cities in Michigan. He's been working, I'm thinking, at least 5 years, or maybe 6 or 7 years or more. And I think the story is, I think I overstated originally. Originally, I thought he said that he doesn't get a salary from the city of Dearborn, that he only earns money from being a director of a grant. And when grants are awarded, they appoint a director, and part of the budget for the grant is to pay personnel to administer it.
Okay.
And but Mayor O'Reilly finally straightened this out, I think, on our interview in April, and he said, no, we pay him a salary. Didn't say how much, but
no,
but Dave's getting a lot of support from a lot of people, and so congratulations to the city of Dearborn. And see, they're trying to do that to save money for the city and also to keep our environment green. That's wonderful. Okay, it was an update. I didn't do this on Roxanne McDonald's show, and didn't have time last Friday. But you know that Enbridge is a company that owns that big oil pipeline that mm-hmm. goes from the Upper Peninsula to the Lower Peninsula.
Right.
Somewhere parallel to the
underneath the
bridge.
Yep.
Yeah, and it was just found out today, and this was on Michigan radio, that an investigation, and the Attorney General Schulte of Michigan has told Enright they've got to make some changes because part of the agreement back in 83 for the maintenance of that pipeline is to have support. You know, supporting it on the ground, on the riverbed or the lake bed, every 75 feet minimum.
On the base, yeah.
They don't have it. Several places it goes longer with no support, which means it's flexing up and down.
And cracks
and it's an old. Yeah. Well, it certainly could be. And too much flexing means boom. And if that oil pipeline opens, folks, it's going to contaminate pretty much, and I'm not exaggerating too much, all the drinking water in Lake Michigan and Lake Huron, and it'll
flow
it'll
this
hurt,
way.
It'll yeah. hurt down here in Lake Erie, too.
Yes.
Before they can cap it, you know. And Enbridge is the company that had the other big spill in Kalamazoo about 3 years ago, which they finally agreed to, besides doing some cleanup, they said they'd pay $177 million to the
yeah.
city of Kalamazoo for the damage that was done. But it's wildlife and property. And, you know, inconvenience to the public with lack of drinking water.
Yep.
And so, but that was just today, if you didn't catch it. So something might be done by Enbridge to help, well, at least support the line. They'll have to
yeah.
put more braces in.
Yeah.
But it's such an old line. Most of the Sierra Club protesters, that Sierra Club is organizing it for several groups in Michigan to protest that they want it shut down. They want the state of Michigan to take away the contract to stop that pipeline. And then, of course, doesn't matter if it breaks or not. There won't be any oil going into it or spilling it. It's just too dangerous. It's too old, it's too weak, and it's not even properly supported.
No.
So it's in several ways an accident waiting to happen soon. So I hope things will move forward. I hope Enbridge, at the very least, it looks like they're going to be required by the state of Michigan to put those extra braces in, those extra supports. So that's, see, late-breaking news, John.
Very tricky repairs when it comes to a, mm-hmm. a situation like that underneath the water so
right.
deep. I got something here about there's going to be an audition for HFC's production.
Yes, the Children's Theater production for this fall.
Mm-hmm. Auditions for cast and crew members of Henry Ford Colleges.
Whoops.
Excuse me.
Get your bottle of water out there.
Yeah.
We're broadcasting live in the beautiful outdoor area. At least we got some shade now, but it's very hot and humid right now. It's great if you're walking around in your shorts, but if you've got headphones on and you're sitting in one place,
you sometimes get
yeah.
Blocked up. Anyway, we have a November production of Charlotte's Web. And the auditions for crew members are going to be from 7 to 10 p.m. August 23rd and 24th. Rehearsals will run from 2 to 5 every Tuesday and Thursday, starting August 25th in the Adrae Auditorium on the main campus. Their performances will be November 11th through the 20th. This is HFC theater instructor Jerry Dubzlinski said that the majority of the characters in Charlotte's Web are animals.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the actors will dress up as animals, and he's also directing. I specialize in movement, he said. I'll train them in the movements that imitate the animal characters they're playing.
In my early elementary days, there was a play. Somebody actually took a picture. I played a tree in
Very
the production.
Good. Yep.
Got my face out there at least, but you know trees don't move around too much usually. So,
and I was a Christmas tree, and
you were too,
in a play in high school.
Well, everybody's got to start somewhere.
You
so.
Bet. Look where we've got to now, Jay.
And some famous poet said, "Nobody doesn't love a tree." So, Walt Whitman or somebody. But so I hope that's still true. Anyway, Okay, and other...
I'd like to give a little quick plug to our good friends, the Top Dog Restaurant and Bar. The Top Dog has a Jazz Friday, and tonight the special guest to the Rich Michaels Trio is going to be Johnny Trudell, a 50-year trumpet player, jazz trumpet player from lots of great groups all around the state of Michigan and nationwide as well. I saw him perform Wednesday night at the Trenton Grand in Trenton with the Tartar Sauce Jazz Band. And anyhow, it's going to be a real nice night tonight. Come one and come all to the Top Dog. And that's what I got for that, Jay.
Yep, that's great that the music is actually, there's no cover charge, so
yeah,
that's
no
free.
Charge,
but
yeah.
Of course, if you want to buy a beverage, that's up to you. But that's why we love free performances, and even for a profit-making organization like the Coney Island place, it's great that they're allowing people to come in and listen to that music for free. But you probably want to buy a beverage or something because it does cost them money. They pay the performers money, so
sure.
And
they have a nice.
Whatever you think is right.
Just for that purpose, they have a separate lounge from the regular restaurant that serves everything as far as you want to get go as far as drinks are concerned.
That's right.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, there are more events today as far as festival on Friday this afternoon. Besides the, we talked about learning Tai Chi. Willie the Clown is going to be performing from 5 to 8, and then the food trucks open from 5 to 11 today.
Mm-hmm.
Sunglasses, and then music starts to happen, and there's also going to be a Yogurt Town Cool Treat Social, free frozen yogurt while supplies last. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep, I got one story that Mayor O'Reilly just updated me on, too, that on the November ballot, there'll be several proposals on the ballot, but one that will be there that's a little bit controversial now, but there's plenty of time to learn more about it and see what you're going to do, is that it is definitely going to be there, that the mass transit tax, an additional tax in property taxes, an average of $95 a year for the average homeowner, to help support regional transit.
Uh-huh.
That is much improved ways to get around for less money, and especially if you don't have a car. So we're talking about bus, we're talking about minibuses, we're talking about trains, everything. A big plan was created. The RTA was created in 2012, 4 years ago, and they've been working as a tri-county commission. With more votes from the suburbs, by the way, than from Detroit, which Detroit is a little mad about that. But nonetheless, in this regional plan, this is the proposal to fund it. They didn't have any money to fund it other than the money to get the commission together.
Okay.
So this is what it will cost. But it will finally give efficient mass transit. It will be phased in for the next couple of years, but they really need this to pass. And this is a great idea. I've said for years, and so has everybody who knows political science and urban planning. One of our members, Ned Apigian, who was on the Dearborn Heights City Council, that's what his training was in, besides architecture, but also urban planning.
Hmm.
And regional plans, especially for large metro areas like Detroit, is the only way to go for efficiency and for effectiveness. And so that's going to be on the ballot in November, and that's something to find out more about. Maybe we can have a guest on the show by then. So just a couple of minutes. We're having so much fun at homecoming. We're going to just conclude and go back to the studio for Highway 61 just after we tell people that we are WHFR Radio, WHFR Dearborn, and we are here with two tents right in the carnival, across from the carnival area, and before you go over the bridge to Dearborn's Ford Field in West Dearborn. So Monroe Street is a street coming north, but it's somewhat closed, a block or two away. And so you're going to have to park in maybe one of the free public lots around Michigan Avenue and just walk down Monroe Street sidewalk. And it's a great time to get a little fun in the sun. And it's going to be a great day now that the rain has stopped. It's nice and clear, and there's a breeze now. I think it seems to be cooling down a little bit, or some humidity is dropping a little bit.
A little breeze.
A little breeze. I hope it continues. And WHFR, we've got our logo items. We've got free pens and newsletters, as usual. people have been telling us how great our pens are.
Oh,
after
yes.
20 years of giving out free pens here. We don't give you those cheap pens. We give you quality ballpoint pens, I'm telling you. And our other logo items, we've got our CDs that we have published over the years for just $5 each, special price. They're normally $10. We've got new sunglasses for those people that don't need prescription sunglasses. For $5 each. Our WHFR barbecue aprons for just $10. And, of course, our huge last point, and we'll have to say goodbye.
CDs and records.
CDs and vinyl sales at just $1 an item. And so many choices. We've got thousands here on display. So come on down anytime this weekend to Dearborn Homecoming and definitely put WHFR tents on your list.
Come and buy it up.
Absolutely.
Come on up. Have some fun. Have a great time out here, folks. There's a lot of great things. There's a cruise in Dearborn. There's a car cruise
tonight,
here tonight at 7 o'clock.
It's all coming on right
the
from...
The car show's happening right through us.
Right past, not through our tent.
Right, through our tent.
Right down the road here from Michigan Avenue, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun, so come on down sometime this weekend. Dearborn Homecoming. If you want more information, it's cityofdearborn.org. And they have full information about Dearborn Homecoming there. But just come on down with the family. Have a great time. So this is back to the studio. And take it away, Highway 61.
Oh, thank you, Jay.
This is WHFR Dearborn. You are listening to the magic of radio. Hours of blues for you this afternoon with me, Kitty Love, your host DJ for this afternoon, and I hope you enjoyed the great broadcast from Homecoming. It's the 37th annual Homecoming Festival. It's happening August 5th through 7th. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this weekend.